Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good to be with you. How is everybody's morning? It's only 10 o'clock, a little bit after. As I said before, I got plenty of time. just sit down and relax. Anyway, title of my sermon this morning, when I get into it, is What is So Good About Good Friday? Have you ever wondered out why they call it Good Friday? Have you ever wondered that? Well, I did a little digging into it this week just to try to figure out why it come about, why they call it Good Friday, when such awful stuff happened on that day. Well, there's so many different things about it that you can't really, I mean, you can pull out a lot of different things. But one of them that I found was quite interesting was that back in the day, the old English for it, whenever it said, I think it was holy, I think that's what they said, what they meant by good, is what they were saying. It was like a holy day. It's like a holy day. But they translated it, we got it for Good Friday, and that's how it stuck. And that's what it says about it. And there's other things out there that talk about it, but we know why it is that. And again, I don't want to get into too many specifics about this. Some people, there's good articles out there about this, that it actually didn't happen on Friday. It could have happened on Wednesday. It could have happened on Thursday because of a lot of different things that's out there. I don't want to get into any of that today. All I want to talk about on this morning is what is so good about Good Friday. And if you would, I'm going to be over in John 19. I'm going to read one verse, the 30th verse. Because I could go down a lot of different rabbit holes with this deal on Good Friday, and I just don't want to do. We ain't got time this morning for that. So, Lord willing, I'm going to be teaching this evening, and I'm going to be teaching a little bit on some stuff tonight. I encourage you to come out tonight, because it's going to be on the resurrection and some things about the resurrection that I would like to talk about. And if you would, I'm just going to lay it out there to you right now. We're going to go over that this evening. But when you get to John chapter 19 and verse 30, would you stand in honor of God's word this morning? Let's read it together. John 19, 30. Very simple scripture. You've said, and when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Let us pray. Father, if we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I just praise you this morning. You are so good. You are so good to us, Lord. And Father, as we get into this time of year, Lord, it's such meaning to us as Christians, Lord, and what you've done for us, and how that Lord, through your Son Jesus Christ, you've brought redemption to a whole world. Father, we want to praise you for that this morning. We want to give you all the glory and the honor for it all, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated, and thank you. Thank you this morning. First off, folks, the cross was never an oops or oh no. God knew just exactly what he was doing. Amen? God wasn't saying, oh no, what am I going to do next? Whenever Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't saying that. He didn't do that. This was planned from the very foundations of the world. This was planned from that time right there. And you say, how do I know that? Well, over in 1 Peter chapter 1, 19 and 20, this is what it tells us over there. But when the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times, for who? For you. Praise God. This was planned from the very foundations of the world, that there had to be a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that it was his hour. The scripture tells us that now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, he knew it. And that he should depart out of this world and to the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And can I say something to you this morning that is just as profound as that is down there. I don't know where you stand with the Lord this morning, but can I tell you, He loves you to the end this morning. He loves you to the end, no matter where you're at, what you're, He loves you that much. He'll love you clear to the end. You may not accept Him, but He still loves you. If you accept Him more, He loves you. He loves you. It was planned. And by the way, who planned it? Who is responsible for His crucifixion? The Scripture tells us who it was. And it may surprise you in somewhat, but you know, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God planned it. God knew it. Over in Acts 4:27 and 28. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God said, whosoever thy hand, whatever God's hand allowed. How do we know that? Because Jesus told us, He said this when He was talking to Pilate. He said unto Pilate, unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest that thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And then Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. I'm telling you, God's plan was that Jesus was to go to the cross, and there was no way that it was going, that plan was going to fail. Can I have an amen? Amen. No way. He was going to that cross, and He was going to that cross for you and I. God was ultimately responsible for the death of Jesus. I know we can put the blame on a lot of different people back then. The Bible says some of them. But brothers, it was God that ultimately, He's the one that did that. It's called Good Friday. And I ask you, have you ever wondered why? Why it's called that? Because death of crucifixion was one of the worst possible deaths that anyone could ever experience. Anyone. It was so horrible. Now get this. That Roman historians like Cicero and Tacitus said that it was the worst possible death anyone could go through and that it shouldn't even be mentioned in the writings of antiquity. They didn't want to mention it. Some people say, well, there's nothing out there about crucifixion. That's one of the biggest reasons, because it was so horrible that they didn't even want to mention it in history. They didn't want to do that. It was so horrible. Did you know this? That Roman women were not allowed to watch it. They were not allowed to watch it. They didn't have no problem with the other people watching it. The crucifixion was not for Roman citizens. It was for non-Roman citizens. And you say, Dave, how do you know that? Well, Peter and Paul were both, if you go into history, both of them were executed. Paul was a Roman citizen. What happened to him, they say, according to him? He was beheaded. If you go into history, what happened to Peter? They say he was crucified upside down. It was not meant for any. It was not meant for any Roman citizen, but Rome sure had no problem using it to do it against non-Roman citizens. Now, listen. Whenever Jesus fed the thousands, thousands followed Him. Did they not? Remember that? When Jesus taught people and preached to people, hundreds of people followed Him. Did they not? We see that in Scripture. There were only 12 close associates of Him who followed Him every day. And of course, we know one of them was a traitor. We know that. But there were only 12 that followed Him every day. And of those 12, there were 3 that were considered His inner circle. And we read about them today, did we not? That was Peter, James, and John. But when it come to Jesus dying on the cross, how many of them was left? Said John was at the foot of the cross. And there was 4 other women, but John and 4 other women were at the feet of the cross. Out of all those thousands, Greg, out of all those thousands, there was only 5 that were at the foot of the cross with Him, Ron. I'm going to tell you something. We wonder in this world today, we wonder why people don't turn to Christ. We wonder why people don't accept him as their Savior. We wonder why. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. It has not changed from back then. The millions and millions that have went down through this world and down through this life and down through history. I'm telling you, the Bible tells me that there is going to be few. Amen. There's going to be few that make it one day. That should tell us a lot. There's going to be few that make it. And it says there's going to be a lot that don't, because broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that find that way. Brother says, listen, when it come to the death of Jesus, there was only one left there. Now, listen, folks, I'll tell you it again. I ask, looking at that, what is so good about Good Friday then? If you take that, all these people that were falling, but when it come down to it, there's only like five right at the foot of the cross with him. Jesus was betrayed by one of his close associates, falsely accused by church folks, mocked publicly, beaten beyond recognition, forced to carry his own cross to the place where they would execute him, ultimately killed on this day, this Good Friday, and then buried in a borrowed tomb. Now, I want to ask you seriously, what sounds so good about that? What sounds so good about that, that we can call it Good Friday? But what many people would consider a terrible and a horrible day, we Christians know there would not have been an Easter if it had not been for Good Friday. There would not have been. We as Christians know that. Without his death, there could not have been a resurrection. Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Can I tell you something? Whenever Jesus Christ saved me, he healed me from a death, he healed me from something a whole lot more horrible than any disease that I could have handled. He cured me of sin one day. By his stripes we are healed. Oh, believe you me, I understand that he still heals physically. But I'm telling you, the greatest miracle that was ever accomplished in this old boy's life was the day that he saved me and set my feet upon a solid rock and put the Holy Spirit within me. The greatest day ever. Oh, for all that were in sin and have been saved, it was a Good Friday. Can I have an amen? Amen. Why? Because we are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. We are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. We are, absolutely. I'm telling you, brother, sister, I praise his name this morning that he was willing to go to that cross, even though it was planned out, and he's willing to die. If nobody else, he died for Dave Long. Amen? Amen? And he died for you this morning. Just like the disciples and all those that followed Jesus back then, when Good Friday happened, there was doubt and worry within their minds. There was. They were troubling times. There was the unknown, the what ifs, and the false accusations. All that was going through their minds, does that not sound familiar today? Does it not sound that way today? Is there not doubt? Is there not fear? Is there not worry? It seems like on every hand. But praise God, we are the people, the Easter people, that live in a Good Friday world. And we should be able to let them know about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because we are that way. Listen, yes, the world we live in is full of sickness. It's full of poverty. It's full of doubt. It's full of fear. It's full of worry. It's full of depression. Can I go on? Does it sound like the world we live in? It is a world we live in today. A world where there's a lot of folks out there that look out for one person and one person only, and that is themselves. But praise God for all that. for all that are still, and all those that are still living in that kind of a world and in that kind of sin, yes, Good Friday happened for them. It happened for you. It happened for me. Easter happened because of what we can have eternal life. Am I amen? Listen, I say this. You know, Easter's great, and I'm glad, because if it wasn't the resurrection, if there wasn't a resurrection, him dying on the cross would have meant nothing. But brothers and sisters, he had to die on that cross. And the Bible tells me what he shed his blood. And his precious blood can cleanse us from all sin. It can do that. His precious blood. There had to be a sacrifice. And God knew that there had to be a perfect sacrifice. And it didn't have to come once a year. It come once. Once. And it come once, and that brother said, that sacrifice is out there from here on out. Until he comes back to take his church out of here. Praise his name this morning. Jesus came to seek and to save. What? Those were lost. Jesus said that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I'm telling you, I was sick one time. I was sick in sin. And if you're honest, if you're here, you're saved here this morning, there was a time you were sick in sin one time. But he said that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Good Friday was bloody, absolutely. But praise God about Good Friday, Ephesians, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sin according to his riches of grace. Yes, listen, if you're lost here this morning, Good Friday meant this to you. God made a way. God made a way. And whosoever will can find that way. Whosoever it is can find that way. But I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about whether you shake my hand. You don't have to worry about where grandpa or grandma was saved. You don't have to worry about what mom or dad. It is a no-so salvation, and it's an individual salvation. Don't base it on what anybody else is doing. I don't base it on anybody else in this church. It's my relationship with God. That's what I base it on. If you start looking around and looking at everybody else and you start trying to compare yourself to them, I'm telling you, you're comparing them to the wrong person. Compare yourself to Jesus. Compare yourself to the Word of God. You may, listen, for Christians, you may be going through something right now where it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I have been there in my life. Has anybody else in here ever been there that way? I've been there where it feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And that light that you do see, sometimes you may feel like it's a train heading right towards you sometimes. But praise God, you know what? You may feel like that. But there's no one cares, like I can tell you, I can assure you, if you feel like no one cares, there's no one that cares like Jesus cares. No one that cares. The Bible tells us in Psalms 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he's nigh to all of them. It may be Good Friday in your world right now. It may be dark. It may not seem like there's any hope. But remember, can I tell you something? Easter is coming. Easter, there could be an Easter in your life. It's coming. They're saying it's always darkest before the dawn. Have you heard that saying? Well, in the natural sense, it's not really true. But what they're trying to say to you is that they're trying to get across, things always seem to get worse right before they get better, right? I don't know where you're at in this problem in your life right now or how bad things are. I just know what the Scripture tells me. In Matthew 14, verse 25, it says this, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. You know what the fourth hour of the night is? It's right before dawn. Brother, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on. But brother said, when my Bible tells me Jesus, you know what the story's about there, don't you? Jesus had just got done feeding the 5,000. He sent the disciples across the lake. He sent them across. He said, go to the other side. I'll be over directly. And as they're going out through there, the storms hit, Belinda. A storm hit them. And you know what? They're out there and the waves are battering the boat and the winds are coming up against it. And brother, here comes Jesus walking. Here comes Jesus walking. Right before dawn, here comes Jesus. He'd been up in the mountains praying. He said he went up in the mountains to pray. And while he was praying, he went back down and there they were. I don't know about you, but there may be some storms coming in your life. Ron, they may be small. They may be big. But there's going to be storms. And can I say this to you here this morning? When it seems like it's the darkest, right before dawn, in the fourth hour of the watch, my Bible tells me that Jesus came to them. He is no respecter of person for anyone. And I'm telling you, He can do the same. If you're living in a Good Friday frame of mind today, God is able and God will come to you in your hour of need. Brothers and sisters, listen. Remember old Peter? He said, Lord, let me come to you. Let me walk on the water with you. Remember that? Peter got out of the boat. But what did Peter do? Peter took his focus off the Lord. He started looking at everything going on around him. Then what happened to Peter? He started to sink. Folks, I'm going to give you something. This old preacher had been there where I started to sink. Believe it or not, I started to sink. No one's above it. I started to sink. I took my eyes off the one that I needed to leave more on. I took my eyes off of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, the moment that Peter realized that, Lord, he reached out his hand. He said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And you know what he did? Jesus reached out his hand. He pulled me up. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, you may be living in a Good Friday frame of mind this morning. But can I tell you this? Easter's coming. Easter is coming. Jesus said unto these people, for ye are likened to, he told these people, he said, listen. He said, you are like whited sepulchres. There's some people out there that you know what? They look good on the outside, but on the inside they're full of dead man bones. The scripture Jesus said, for ye are likened to the whitest sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness. Don't know if you're like that here this morning. I don't judge anybody's heart. I don't know you here this morning. It's time to leave the grave behind. It's time to leave it behind. It's time to come up here and give it to Jesus this morning if you're like that. I mean, I tell you what, people can sit and they can smile and they can be the best. And they can come to church all the time and just smile and just be whatever. But you know what? My Bible tells me there are some that are going to be full of dead man's bones. I'm just here to tell you, if you're like that here this morning, I beg you. I'm begging you. This altar is open for that this morning. Repent. Jesus said this in Luke 13:3. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You got to repent. Repenting, Christians, brothers and sisters, we are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Folks, can I tell you something? There's Christians, and I'm not saying this to point fingers at people because I've been there. There's Christians, listen to me. I want to tell you this. I have not showed the light that I should show sometimes. Amen? Amen. He said, he told me I'm a peculiar person. If you're saved, you're peculiar. Yes. We should be peculiar. Yeah, right. We should be different. We should be all those things. And he says, listen, a holy, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness. I was in a dark place one day and he called me out and I praise him for that. What a difference. What a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. I think about, I'm a history buff. December 7th, 1941. What a difference a day makes. On the 6th of December, I'm guarantee you there were people I know, because I talked to my mom, my grandmother. They were walking around, never thought about a thing. They didn't care about that war over in Europe. But on December 7th, 1941, Rick, it changed. It changed. One day. How about 9/11? How about 9/11? Right? One day, things changed. But can I tell you something? There's a day better than all those. It's called Easter.
There you go.
They went to find the tomb and get the stone rolled away. It was already gone. Amen. It was already gone. Because my Lord and Savior, He is risen. And He sits at the right hand of God. And He's there to make intercession for all. For all. That's the God I serve. What a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. Listen, Easter morning is a message of new life and hope. Is it not? Well, you know, Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. What a difference a day makes. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, there's coming another day. There's coming another day that's going to make a difference. And I hope and pray that you're right if it comes. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What a difference that day will make. Brothers and sisters, too many Good Fridays would not be good thing but to be bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Good Friday is good. That's why it's good. That's why we can say Good Friday. I'm here this morning. I'm just asking you this morning. I don't know your hearts. Julie, get an overhead. I don't know your hearts. I don't know where you stand. I don't need to know where you stand. God knows where you stand, doesn't He, Greg? He knows where you stand. I'm not up here to try to jerk you up there, because I believe if I jerk you to the altar, the devil can jerk you back. But the Holy Spirit draws you up there. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you this morning. He can make a difference in your life. He can make a difference in your life. I pray God this morning, as they get this song ready, if you have a need, come this morning. I'm not asking, I'm begging. Come this morning.